The first question. You have proposed the introduction of a transparent registry of claims from the state budget at the Ministry of Finance with assigned maturity by claim. You already discussed it with the Ministry of Finance and IMF. What was their feedback? What is the phase of discussion right now?
We're still in discussion with the Ministry of Finance, but what's interesting to note, I think, is that the Ministry in its previous letters of intent to the IMF, and I think this will be followed through again this time, has assured the IMF that arrears will be resolved, largely resolved. So I'm hopeful that the situation will improve, but waivers have previously been given on exactly the same issue when the situation hasn't improved. So I think what we're looking for now is some delivery in terms of the position on arrears rather than just words.
How many companies have faced bankruptcy or insolvency procedures because of arrears-related matters at BCR?
Well, I mean, I can't give you absolute numbers. All I can say is that there are two areas of arrears. One is VAT, and the other is contractual payments by the government or by local authorities. With respect to VAT, the government has partly addressed this by having an offset mechanism. But as I talk to customers, and I talk to customers on a daily basis, a lot of customers are still awaiting VAT payments that are well overdue. Unless they get those payments, of course, they can't pay suppliers. And if they can't pay suppliers, then those suppliers, which are generally smaller businesses, are the ones that are weakest. And what we've seen in terms of our SME and micro customers is that many of those have gone out of business over the course of the last 18 months. I know this isn't solely down to VAT, but VAT is frequently the kind of last nail in the coffin. In terms of government payments and local authority payments, some progress has been made on these more recently. About 25% of arrears have been paid out, I understand. But that still leaves 75% still to be paid. And I was, again, discussing at the weekend with a businessman payments that were due to him from the Roads Authority and from the Ministry of Transport, and those had been outstanding for quite some time. And because of that, he's had to reduce the number of his workforce from 600 to 400. So it's clear that VAT and local authority and government payment arrears both send businesses to the wall, and they cause unemployment.
What are the economic sectors where the issue of arrears has become most severe, as far as you know?
Well, of course, suppliers to local authorities and suppliers to government, but these are very important sectors of the economy, particularly in a time when the private sector economy is most sluggish. So clearly, suppliers to the public sector are being most badly affected. But the VAT issues affect all companies that pay VAT. And, of course, that's a very significant majority of companies in the country.
You have said recently, Mr. President, that you see a business opportunity in supporting the state in paying debts to companies. You said that it was good for banks because the state would have to loan more money and the National Bank of Romania would have to further reduce the level of fraction of minimum reserves, which would improve the level of interest. What other ways of reducing arrears may there be?
Let me kind of clarify the report that was made about what I said. What I actually said was that the payment of arrears would be good for banks, not just because they reduced the pressure on companies, i.e. the kind of problems that we talked about earlier on, but also that the banks were willing to finance companies against this transparent registry of claims that would exist. Now, if we were going to do that, my understanding of the volume of VAT and payment arrears is something like 1.5 billion euros. Clearly, the banks can't finance 1.5 billion euros.
It's a huge amount.
It is a huge amount. They can't finance that kind of amount of money from their own balance sheets. And what would be required is either for the government to borrow it directly, which increases the borrowing by the government, or for the banks to lend the money. And if that was the case, that would require a reduction in the minimum reserves, which the National Bank hold to support the banking system. Now, actually, minimum reserves are still very high in the banking system compared to other European countries. So I think there's certainly a case for discussion with the National Bank about reducing the minimum reserves so that the banks could potentially help the government pay arrears. Of course, there are two ways of doing this. Either the government can borrow more money itself, but that increases the budget deficit, or the banks can lend money to customers against this transparent registry of claims. Now, in terms of this idea, you know, we're looking for a partnership with the Ministry of Finance to try and push this forward. We're not saying that every claim needs to be on the registry, just the bigger ones, say the ones over 10 or 25,000 euros. If we address those, then at least those payments would go into the bigger firms, and then the bigger firms could start making payments to their suppliers as well, the SMEs and the micro customers who are under most pressure.
Yes,
so I think it's a sound way of trying to act responsibly whilst trying to address the major problems the government faces.
Did you discuss the issue of a transparent registry of claims with the new Ministry of Finance? And if yes, which is your feeling? Is he willing to do this as soon as possible? Is the Ministry of Finance prepared to do this?
I'm still in discussion with the Ministry of Finance. They, of course, have been very busy finalizing the agreement with the IMF over the course of the last 7 days. So I will be pursuing some further discussions with the Ministry of Finance tomorrow, actually.
We are now moving from the arrears issue to the Ordinance 50. We just found out that the issue of the Ordinance will not be included in the new accord with IMF. So how would your bank react should Ordinance 50 be applied in its current form?
Well, of course, parts of Ordinance 50 have already been applied. And if you look at early repayment fees, they're already applied. We applied those, BCR applied those, more than 3 months ago. As a result of that, you'll have seen from our results that that they were negatively affected by about 3 million euros in terms of fee income as a result of that. So parts of Ordinance 50 are already applied. The areas of Ordinance 50 where we think there are significant issues are the retrospective aspects of Ordinance 50 and the description of interest margins. Now, going forward, it's very, very clear for new contracts, those are being implemented as well, but there's a significant issue over existing contracts and how interest rates in those are described. Our view is that the transparency that's required from customers and from the authorities is there in the way that we are applying Ordinance 50. So from our perspective, we don't see any reason to change customers' borrowing rates.
According to data received from a banking system, the Ordinance 50 would cause losses of hundreds of millions of euros to the banks. These losses would be distributed unevenly among the market players. What would be the impact of this ordinance be on the BCR?
We've done some calculations which we've passed to the National Bank. My understanding, and I don't particularly want to disclose the figure purely for BCR, my understanding, though, is at the level of the system, the National Bank collated impact was of the order of around 600 million euros in a full year. Now, I think that's the application of the whole Ordinance 50, so you'd have to cut it up between its different elements. I think what it's sensible to say is that these aren't losses, of course. What they are is reductions in income. So they're reductions in interest margins and reductions in fees. And reductions in fees, I've just pointed out, are already the case in terms of our own position. So I think what we can say is that the impact would be very considerable in terms of the impact on income. Now, of course, as a result of a significant reduction in income, only two other things can happen. Either you have to cut your costs significantly to achieve the same profit, which means either staff costs or other costs, and staff costs are normally 50% of any bank's cost profile. And in addition, of course, at the same time, all banks are having problems with non-performing loans and provisions. So I think if the reduction in income did occur to the kind of extent that has been talked about, then quite a significant number of the banks would, I expect, be pushed into a loss position. And I think that's not something that anybody wants to see at the moment, because I think, obviously, the banking system has been reasonably strong through the current crisis, and I think everybody wants it to remain that way.
There are increasingly more serious intentions at an European level regarding the application of a banking tax. Hungary, to only mention this neighboring country, decided to tax banks which operate locally. Do you find this a proper idea for Romania? Are there any governmental ideas about this?
No, I don't see. I don't particularly see why banks should be singled out in any economy for special attention in terms of banking taxes. Banks, like everybody, pay corporation tax in terms of being a business. And if governments want to amend corporation tax, they should do it for everybody, not just banks. Especially in a country like Romania, where the banks have not been bailed out by the government. In fact, it's been very much the other way around. The government, through its budget deficit and borrowing, has actually been borrowing significant amounts of money from the banks. So I don't see the case for a banking tax overall in any country, and specifically I don't see the case for a banking tax in Romania.
Yes. Mr. President, another very interesting proposal refers to the establishment of the new bank targeting firms accessing European funds. Can you provide more details on this project?
Yeah, this was another of the proposals that was contained in the Foreign Investors Council document. What the proposal is basically to establish a kind of development bank, which would provide...
A state bank?
No, I'm not in favor of establishing state banks. This would be set up by one or more of the banks in the country, probably obviously the bigger ones. And this would provide equity to deserving projects and companies where they were leveraging EU funds. What we've been finding in the business world is that there are some very good projects that are not being done, primarily because the project proposers are not able to access sufficient levels of equity to be able to release the European funds, the co-financing. So the objective of this would be to try and find a way to release some equity to deserving projects.
And Mr. President, the last question, should you be a foreign investor, would you invest now in Romania rather than in Hungary, Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, or Poland? Why?
And why? Okay. Well, of course, the reality is that the Erste Group is a very significant foreign investor in Romania. The total lines of credit lines for Romania marked by the Erste Group are around about 7.7 billion euros. And that's been rising since the Vienna Initiative Accord was signed last March. So Erste, and therefore obviously I'm part of the Erste Group in BCR, Erste continues to invest very significantly in Romania. And, you know, we would invest a lot more in terms of supporting infrastructure if we could see that infrastructure being put on the ground. So absolutely we would want to invest more in Romania because we think the long-term future for Romania is very positive. It's a country that has some significant advantages. What it requires now is infrastructure and commitment to future infrastructure to get economic growth starting to move again and to provide the kind of arteries for business that are going to be required in the future as the country returns to a growth path. And Erste, I think like any foreign investor, is very interested in making that happen.